You have a 4,000 target on gold. I think that's what we're probably going to see this year. My target on silver is 75. We could see that by the end of this year.
You're watching Silver News Daily. Subscribe for more.
The clock is ticking, and the most explosive silver rally in history may already be underway. David Hunter isn't just tossing out wild predictions. He's warning that silver could blast to $75 in a matter of months. Driven by a perfect storm of panic at the Federal Reserve, a $20 trillion money printing spree, and a global banking collapse that's cracking the foundations of the financial system, we've already seen silver smash through $39 an ounce for the first time in 14 years, a breakout that shattered decade-old resistance and ignited fears of an uncontrollable bull run. But this isn't just about price charts. Behind the scenes, physical inventories are vanishing, industrial demand is breaking records, and the paper silver market is stretched to its breaking point. Oil forecasts are pointing toward $500 a barrel. Gold's being called up to over $20,000. And fiat currencies everywhere are sliding toward an historic meltdown. The question now isn't whether silver will move, it's whether you'll be ready before the market locks down and the chance to act is gone forever.
Yeah, last April, obviously, when the tariffs were announced, they surprised the market in terms of how large they were and what, you know, Trump was in negotiating pattern at that point. The market took it at face value and said, this is going to tank the economy. This is going to tank the markets. And most strategists on the street, most market analysts turned bearish at that point. You started hearing the top is in. You know, we aren't going back to the top. We're heading for 4,000. We're heading for 3,000. You know, this is the bear market. And right under, you know, at 4,900, 5,000, is when I raised my target from 7,500 to 8,000 on the S&P and raised the other indexes. I think I raised the NASDAQ from 23 to 25 at that time, or 25 to 27. My thing was that everybody got so bearish so fast, sentiment was actually back to levels in 2020, you know, at the lows in 2020. What I saw there was that we rebuilt the wall of worry in a very short time, you know, in a matter of a couple of weeks. And everybody was on the wrong side, and I got more bullish in my typical contrarian approach. So, I think we basically rebuilt the wall of worry. That wall of worry is the fuel for this final leg. And even up, you know, 30% off the lows, you have a good deal of skepticism. People say, well, that's fine. We had another run, but they thought it was going to be a double top. It blew through that, which I said it probably would. And now they're looking and saying, gee, you know, I don't know what to do. But they certainly aren't bullish. They are, some are kind of coming on board and going with the momentum a little bit, but there's still a lot holding back saying, I want to pull back. Yes, maybe this thing has more to go, but I want to pull back. And that's, you know, I've been saying we could see a pullback from, say, 6,500 on the S&P, but it's not a given. I mean, those short-term scenarios may or may not work out. And, you know, given the skepticism that's still in there, you saw the reaction yesterday to the Fed, this thing may just kind of keep rotating and feeding on itself, so that you could get a pullback back to the breakout, which was, you know, 6,100 area on the S&P, which would be, you know, 6 or 7%, maybe 5-7% pullback. That would cause a lot of people to get bearish again. I think even that little pullback, given how far we've come, could cause people to say, oh my God, we may have seen the highs. And that would just be, again, we'd be rebuilding that wall of worry, providing more fuel for the future. Or we could just see that this thing, is kind of in a rotating correction where, you know, different groups kind of, correct. For instance, the small caps, which started to go, have pulled back again here. So, it remains to be seen. I don't have a crystal ball to tell you whether we'll get a pullback or whether we are kind of getting a sideways consolidation in here. But either way, I think the next few months is up. You know, you could have a 2 or 3 week pullback, or you may not.
In July 2025, silver did something it hadn't managed in over a decade. It broke through the $39 mark, touching highs not seen since the frenzy of September 2011. That moment wasn't that just a blip on a chart. It was the shattering of a wall that had held back the market for 14 long years. For most of that time, every attempt to push higher had been met with fierce resistance, a ceiling that kept silver trapped in a frustrating range. But this summer, that ceiling gave way. The rally wasn't gradual. It was decisive, fueled by a surge of buying pressure that left short sellers scrambling and futures markets showing unusual price gaps between exchanges. Silver's breakout didn't happen in isolation either. It capped off a year where prices had already surged 27 to 39%, with June posting the largest monthly gain since the Reddit-driven silver squeeze of early 2021. For traders who watch technicals, this kind of move is a flashing neon sign, the beginning of a structural bull market. And history tells us that once silver escapes a long-term cap like this, the rally that follows isn't measured in small increments, it's measured in leaps. But this breakout is just the opening act, because the target's experts are now calling for go far beyond $39.
I remain bullish on both gold and silver. Gold actually has done a nice job of consolidating since April, basically a 3.5 month consolidation here at a high level, you know, between, I don't know, 3,200 and 3,500, I guess. At the present time is more in the lower end of that consolidation. I don't think there's much downside here, if any. Basically you'll have another leg up here. I have a 4,000 target on gold. I can't remember exactly when I raised it, but since I talked to you last, I think I raised it from 3,400 to 4,000. I think that's what we're probably going to see this year. So sometime between now and the end of the year, you should get up to that. Silver is a little more volatile, as we know, and scares people out oftentimes because of the volatility. You know, it ran to $39 and looked like it, my next resistance level is the mid 40s, you know, 44, 45, and not sure what it does there, whether it has a bigger pullback or kind of, you know, very short term stalls out and pushes through there. My target on silver is 75. We could see that by the end of this year or certainly early next year. I don't view this sell off as violent as it may seem to some, that we've come back from 39 down to 36 and change. A month ago, back in early June, silver was down in the 33.5 area, 33.25 area. So we're at the end of the month. You know, it's the last day of the month. It's not unusual for these metals to fill in, and actually other markets too. So people have to be careful not to react to day-to-day stuff. You know, if your low last month was 33.25 and you're at 36 and change now, and your high last month was lower than the high today, you're still putting in higher lows, higher highs. And I think August will probably be another bullish month. So, silver looks great to me. I think the miners are finally, although they are again volatile and cause people, to get nervous, they're in uptrends that will continue. And my targets for silver are SIL, which is large silver miners, to 75. I think that's on track. And SILJ to 35, which is a long way from here, but I think you could see that this year. So on gold, GDX, I raised my target, had been for a long time, 65. I've raised that to 75, and my GDXJ, which is junior miners, remains at 100. It's a very clear target there that I think we can get there a little above that. So, I remain very constructive on both the metals and the miners.
David Hunter isn't shy about it. He sees silver surging to be $75 by the end of this year, or early next at the latest. That's not a cautious projection. It's a bold call rooted in the belief that the forces now in motion will collide in spectacular fashion. And he's not alone. Momentum analyst Michael Oliver, looking at the speed and strength of recent price action, projects a climb into the $60-$70 range within just 5 months. Even the more conservative voices, like Investing Haven, still foresee silver hitting $49 in 2025, consolidating around $50 in 2026, and then advancing toward close to $77 by 2027. The spread in these forecasts doesn't signal uncertainty. It signals consensus that silver's upside is massive. And here's the thing. Silver isn't just rising in sympathy with gold. It's outperforming it in percentage terms, even with gold sitting at record highs. That's a sign of momentum shifting in silver's favor, a setup that in past cycles has preceded its most violent rallies. The targets may differ, but the direction is the same. The experts agree. The trajectory is up, and the potential gains dwarf anything we've seen in years. But even those lofty price calls don't account for the most relentless driver of this market, one that's been quietly building pressure for 4 years straight.
It plays a role in the big picture. I mean, I think the pro-growth policies we're seeing out of this administration, you know, deregulation, the bringing manufacturing back home, getting these deals where you're actually going to get investment, foreign investment in this country that's controlled by us, that we can kind of decide where to put that investment. Immigration policy where you're controlling the border again, and tax policy, you know, the big, beautiful bill, all those things I think are going to feed into a long-term story, meaning post-bust, because I'm still calling for a global bust next year. But post-bust, I think those things are constructive to the economy, will be part of the story afterwards. In the short run, they create volatility. People react to various things in geopolitically as well as economically, and it can create some volatility there. But basically, I think the story, you know, as I say, the bust, in my opinion, is baked in the cake. It's not the result of Trump's policies. It's the result of decades, and I mean many decades, of misappropriation of capital, cycles that got overheated and then got tightened down too far. And so what you've had is this ratcheting up, kind of a natural thing in the big cycle, in the what I call a super cycle, where each cycle gets a little bit more extended and therefore takes more policy to crank it down. You know, the excesses get greater. It takes more policy to crank those down. Then you go and overdo it on trying to get you out of that hole, and it becomes another one. And what you get is, I think somebody called it a buggy whip type of action or a sine wave. I'm not sure, but where you get these steeper cycles. And so 2008-09 was our biggest post.
For four consecutive years, the silver market has been in a deep supply deficit, and 2024 was one of the worst yet, a shortfall of 148.9 million ounces. When you add up the deficits from 2021 to 2024, the gap reaches a staggering 678 million ounces, the equivalent of wiping out 10 months of the entire planet's mine supply. That kind of imbalance doesn't just happen, it drains the system dry. COMEX registered silver inventories have plunged 77% from over 150 million ounces in 2020 to just about 35 million ounces in early 2024. Over in London, LBMA stocks have fallen by more than 300 million ounces from their 2021 peak. And all this is happening despite a slight 3% decline in total demand in 2024, because industrial demand is still smashing records. Analysts like Daniel Ghaly warn that the LBMA's free float silver, metal actually available to the market, is at its lowest level ever recorded. Physical shortages are becoming visible in the form of backwardation, where near-term prices are higher than futures, signaling desperation for immediate delivery. Sean Kunkun points out that deficits of around 250 million ounces have been the norm for the past 2 years, and the Silver Institute sees no relief for 2025, projecting another shortfall of up to 215 million ounces. This isn't just a tight market. It's one where the supply chain is being bled dry. And that's before we even consider the tidal wave of new demand about to crash in.
I raised it again to 8,700. So I'm clearly by far the most bullish on the street. I think we're in a final leg of a 43-year secular bull market. We've talked about that before. And I, you know, there'll be pullbacks along the way, I think, here probably one soon. But But this thing's got plenty of vertical move here ahead before we get to any problems. It could be very fast. I'm saying this last leg will go parabolic as we move towards the top. So parabolic means almost vertical, very steep. So you can cover a lot of ground in a short while. And those numbers seem crazy until you get into them and see how fast this thing can move. So, everybody wants to pinpoint a time. I've been saying it could happen by fall. It doesn't have to, but that's still my view.
Just before we get going, we just launched the official Silver News Daily Telegram. To kick things off, we're running a 10-ounce silver giveaway. Yes, real physical silver, not a voucher, not digital credits, actual bullion. This Telegram will be our new home for real-time silver discussions, market insights, collection picks, and everything precious metals. It's where the community truly comes alive. Here's how to enter the 10-ounce silver giveaway. Be subscribed to Silver News Daily on YouTube. Turn on the notification bell. Comment 10-ounce giveaway on 3 separate videos. Be an active member of the Telegram group and say hi. Once we hit 500 active Telegram members, we'll pick one lucky winner to receive 10 ounces of silver shipped directly to you. So get in early, stay active. Silver isn't just a hedge against financial chaos. It's become an irreplaceable industrial workhorse, and demand is accelerating at a pace the market can't match. In 2024, industrial use hit an all-time high of 680.5 million ounces, marking the fourth straight year of record consumption. Nearly 60% of all silver used globally now goes into industry, and it's not slowing down. The solar photovoltaic sector alone devoured 232 million ounces in 2024, a 20% jump from 2023, and an astonishing 96% surge from just 2 years earlier. By 2030, that figure is expected to rise to 273 million ounces, meaning solar could claim nearly a third of all annual silver output. And silver's role in solar isn't optional. Its conductivity and efficiency can't be matched by substitutes, especially in the high-performance cells the green energy transition demands. Electric vehicles are another powerhouse of consumption, using 25 to 50 grams of silver each compared to far less in traditional cars. Add to this the explosion of electronics, AI-driven devices, and grid infrastructure upgrades, and you have a structural demand curve that rises year after year, regardless of price. This isn't a speculative rush. It's a steady industrial takeover of silver supply, one that's tightening the market every single month. And within this surge, one sector stands out as the most aggressive driver of the coming supply squeeze.
27 is probably, you're going to see the bulk of the inflation late this decade, 28, 29, 30, and beyond. But I think what it ultimately leads to is inflation above 20%, maybe 25% in this country, hyperinflation around the world, and debt that has to be financed with interest rates that will follow the inflation. So if rates could get to zero, the 10-year could get to zero next year in a bust. If they start at zero, they could go to, if inflation goes 25%, the 10-year could go to something close to 20%, high teens to 20. How in the world do we service massive debt that we'll have as a result of that? That's why I say macro trumps everything else, even trumps Trump, because his pro-growth policies are going to give us some of that boom, but that boom's going to come with huge commodity inflation. As we build factories and plants and equipment here, it's going to require a lot more commodity input than we have supply for. And that means you're going to have demand way outstripping supply and prices going through the roof. Just oil, which is a favorite of his, obviously. And I think we're in a bear cycle in oil. I think oil goes to $30 in the bust. But from there, I think oil can go to $500 by early next decade. That's what inflation means. That's in real terms, that's what you'll see. You'll see copper go from maybe, $1 or $2 in the bust to, who knows, $20, $30. I don't know where copper goes. Silver will go to 500. Gold will go to 20,000. So that's what, in real terms, when I say 25% inflation by early next decade, in real terms, that's what it'll translate into commodities. And obviously, commodities flow through to consumer goods and everything else. So the consumer is going to be facing some tremendous headwind. That's in, you know, standard of living is going to be hit pretty hard, I think. Hopefully, I'm wrong on some of that in terms of the extremes. Hopefully, the Trump has some policies that can, you know, ameliorate some of that. Some of their plans to, you know, try to reduce the deficits, and, you know, certainly growth will help the deficits. I don't buy the deficits that were being sold right now in terms of static analysis. I think Trump is right that you can grow some of your way out of those things. But this thing, once this thing explodes out of the other side of the bust, it's hard to see any policy being able to offset that.
The solar photovoltaic sector has become silver's most voracious customer, and its appetite is only growing more extreme. In 2024, PV manufacturing accounted for 19% of total global silver demand. But the trajectory is so steep that by 2030, it could swallow up 30% of the world's entire annual production. This isn't just about more panels being built. It's about the panels themselves requiring far more silver. Newer, high-efficiency technologies like TOPCon and HJT cells use roughly 50% more silver per unit than older PERC designs, a shift that's accelerating as manufacturers race to squeeze every watt of efficiency from their products. Each panel now contains about 20 grams of silver, and there's no viable alternative that can match its conductivity and durability in these applications. Nations are pouring billions into renewable infrastructure, and global mandates for net zero emissions are forcing a massive scale-up in solar capacity. That means silver demand from PV isn't just growing, it's locked in. Between 2020 and 2030, the solar sector alone is expected to consume 888 million ounces of silver, almost the equivalent of a full year's global mine output. When you pair this with deficits and shrinking inventories, it becomes clear. The energy transition isn't just reshaping the power grid, it's becoming one of the biggest engines of a silver shortage in history. But industrial demand isn't the only force stressing the market. There's a battle playing out in the paper markets that could detonate prices overnight.
Yeah, just some perspective. 2 or 3 years ago, the dollar was 115, DXY, the index. It fell to 96 and change, I think, is where we bottomed out, you know, a week or two ago. And so we're getting counter trend trade here where it's moved, you know, back up over 100. And you know, it had gotten so that everybody who didn't see the fallen dollar coming, I was calling, and I still am calling for 82 on the dollar index. And I was told I was crazy to even be looking for it to go down. People at 107, 108, 109, 6, 9 months ago were saying it's going up. And it had a pretty sharp decline from there down to 96. So it's only natural that it's got to correct because everybody's piled on the short side now that it's going to have a short covering rally and you know, counter trend move. I don't know how far it goes from here. I wouldn't expect a lot more, but, you know, it can always surprise you and have a little more extension than you expect. And then I think it rolls back over and we'll see 90 probably at some point in the next, you know, 6 months, and then down from there. And so, you know, my view is that the dollar is still in a downtrend. It's just in a countertrend rally at this point. As you say, the offset to that are all these other currencies. And I think you are seeing strength in the yen, although it corrected, started strong and then corrected. But rates are going up in Japan. There's no doubt about that. Whereas I think rates are coming down here. Rates are already come down elsewhere. So we have probably the biggest move in rates coming down over the balance of this year relative to rates coming down anywhere else. In other words, we'll move more down to the downside. That will help put pressure on the dollar. It's all relative. You know, it's where you are today. It's not absolute rates. It's where you are today, where you're going. And I think rates here are going to come down.
The COMEX silver market is under a kind of pressure that can only end one way, with an explosive release. On July 11th, 2025, in just a single hour, traders dumped 483 million ounces of paper silver onto the market. That's 57% of the world's annual mine production, in an attempt to hammer prices down. But the attack only exposed the fragility of the system. At the same time, 616,000 ounces were pulled from COMEX's eligible category, with J.P. Morgan alone withdrawing 645,000 ounces. Total COMEX silver stocks, both registered and eligible, now stand at about 494.9 million ounces. But the real stress is in the leverage. There are 42,116 futures contracts short, equal to 211 million ounces, representing a quarter of annual global output. The paper-to-physical ratio has ballooned to a staggering 378.1, meaning for every ounce of physical silver, there are hundreds of ounces promised on paper. When prices rise, those short positions bleed cash, about 211